The Bible reading for the sermon was the text which was read with special emphasis on the 15th verse, how beautiful are the feet of those who publish glad tidings of peace and goodness. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, that you have sent your Holy Spirit into our lives, and we pray that he will be present at this time to help us comprehend the wisdom and riches of this word, and be with us so that we can understand its positive beauty and bring that beauty of the gospel to those who serve. And share with us, we beg you, Lord God, the fulfillment of its promise, of which we witness to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Beautiful text. The word beauty itself is used there. The Greek word is horai. You know, that's interesting. Transliterate that right into the English. Hooray! It's a beautiful, positive cry of exaltation and victory in the gospel. Hooray! They had from Isaiah 52 the vision of those prisoners, their relatives and brothers and sisters who were coming back from captivity. They were free. The bondage and slavery were over. Hooray! They were happy. And Paul picks up that verse and says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring that good news. And it's a rather beautiful context right here where we are. We think of this beautiful environment. We thank those who were the senders, who made this environment possible. The beautiful season of the year, the flowering magnolia that's just finished, and now the crab apples, the ruby and white blossoms, the fragrant white blossoms in the courtyard outside the chapel here, and the fountain now in the renovated lake. What a beautiful situation or environment to be talking about this gospel. And we're thankful for those who made this possible. And it's it reminds me of that classic poem in England, to come down to you in lilac time. And we say to our radio audience, you know, come to Concordia in crabapple time. It isn't far from Clinton. You know, come and see it and be part of it. And they will on graduation. It's a beautiful time when we rejoice that, you know, some have finished the course here and are going out to their tasks in a meaningful and challenging vocation. And that's a time of joy too, so much so that those who teach, and I've shared this and heard it said, as they watch the graduates go past before the altar here, those who have taken part and understand the struggles and obstacles and hard work and sacrifice that have gone into this causes tears to swell up in our eyes. Hooray! This struggle is finished, we're prepared, and we're going out to a challenge. And it is a challenge, but there's a very positive hope out there. We just got the statistics published on a 10-year repeated survey of the attitudes toward religion in America. There's a spectrum of about 35% of unchurched Americans who are saying, yes, we wish somebody would invite us. We would like to become part of the church. That's a beautiful challenge for us, that potential. So we say, hooray, there's a chance for us there, and we want to be part of it. We want to visit these people. We want to phone them, and that they can come in and become part of this gospel church, which is so beautiful in its hope and in its gospel. It's a big challenge, but we have a beautiful Savior. That's what Paul saw here when he's writing to the Romans and to that Greek-Roman cultural mind, putting over against it, it's over against its abstractions and philosophy, very personal, powerful message of the gospel. Historians say that the Romans hauled boatloads of gods, namely idols, from Greece to Rome to try to get them into relationship to God. They were crying out for help. But Paul says already in the first and second chapters, our situation is such that these creative objects of our hands are not adequate to help us. Like the Old Testament prophet, what can that wood which we burn for our fires do to help us? Only God can help us. And St. Paul tries to make that known to to those Romans. He says, that blessed God in Jesus, from whom, through whom, and to whom are all things, that powerful God, he can make a difference for you. What a beautiful gospel, that of the beautiful Savior. And there are people crying out for help for that in our time too, for that gospel. I'm thinking of a black mission in Indianapolis where students and I are trying to help the layman get that thing started. And after the communion and worship service, I had a Bible study. Sitting right by my right in front of me here was this woman. I hadn't seen her before. I found out later she had been there, but she got late to church. And so I'm teaching a Bible lesson. Somebody comes in from the corridor of this school number 75, room 212, where we're starting the mission, taps her on the shoulder, pulls her out into the corridor. A few minutes later, she comes back. She's crying. And she sits during the rest of the lesson. She continues to cry. And it's over. And I go to her. By this time, some of the laymen have seen this, and they're gathering around her. The ugly news is that the police have picked up her 14-year-old son. And this means suffering for her and pain. So we pray for her. And I say, we have to gather around, rally around the team to support her and to help her now. You see, she's crying out literally, calling out to God. But in this text, it says God is calling down to us. He's calling us. We are to hear him. There has to be somebody to proclaim it. And these laymen and I, we were trying to pray and get into a believing relationship to God so that woman can be helped. The beautiful Savior can help her. And work the Holy Spirit can work through these people. That's a beautiful message. And the people who are bringing it are beautiful people. It's an ugly scene into which we bring it in our time. Scene of darkness, self-destruction, crime. One of the vicars returned. He's starting a black mission in Lincoln, Nebraska. He is telling about this mission. He said, I was making a call in the project neighborhood, in quotes, in the apartment. I had this family right to the right of the doors I entered. They were interested in the mission. They knew that they needed God's help. They were hearing and listening. But meanwhile, there are a lot of people know I'm a minister, and they're going up and down the stairway. They don't stay long. They come back down again. I say, hey, what's going on here? And the people tell me, oh, they're up there buying their drugs. I said, Russ, that's the path back into slavery. Addiction, crime, self-destruction, mutual destruction. How can there be anything beautiful for them? Well, there were some people here who were listening and finding the gospel, the beautiful gospel, in the mission church. And hooray for them! And that they can be understanding witnesses to those who are going up the down stairway, taking the escalator to hell and destruction. Who might wake up? Wake up. And that's the next point. The beautiful senders, those who are encouraging a ministry into this midst. The Wall Street Journal had one of its most impressive feature articles recently, the 4th of May, on the Haitians. Headline, Seaboard, Delaware. City 5,500. Being destroyed by Haitians. And then it describes the background. Palm Beach, Florida, for 1,000 miles up the corridor of I-95. City after city, town after town, hundreds of thousands of immigrants from this poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, trying to make a living in their poverty, finding out they can make money selling drugs. So a lot of them work hard and are fine people, but these are selling drugs and becoming part of the American drug culture. So much so that there was an emergency in Seaboard, Delaware. They called emergency meeting at the firehouse, and they came and they said, why, we put one of these in jail and there two more take his place selling drugs on the street. Why, they're quoted as saying, and they call up the police in different cities along I-95. This is a threat to national security. This is war, they say. That's the road back into slavery. That's what those people were getting away from. And we found this out. One of our vicars was down there, area of West Palm Beach, Florida, quoted in the Wall Street Journal article. He was vicaring at Lake Worth, Florida, and he lived in the poor neighborhood in the middle of the Haitians. They wanted to learn English so they could get jobs and do well in their jobs, and so he started teaching them English. And then he used the Bible for a textbook. And by reading the Bible, they found out about the beautiful gospel and about the beautiful Savior and about that way of life. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. And they knew that's what their people had to follow. So they wanted to be ministers, Missouri Synod ministers, and the pastors start teaching them, and we go down there and teach them and try to understand their culture and their language. And they look in the Bible, and they come out in their French language, and they preach, attention, attention, wake up, people, pray, get in a praying relationship to God, pray out to Him, He's calling for you, do not destroy yourselves. They're part of a mission, and two of those students are starting missions. What a beautiful scene. And there's our hope. I talked to a student who's been spending the last 10 months, who graduated last year, spending the last 10 months helping start a mission here in Indiana. I said, what do you remember from those 10 months? He said, I remember this cripple fellow. You might think he's only 17. No, he's 40, he said. I know the fellow too. He said, that's the most exciting thing that I saw happen. Those people could communicate with him. He has muscular dystrophy or something. Death is possible, imminent. And now we could communicate. We learned to communicate with him. He is so sincere. He comes to church in that wheelchair every Sunday. And to see him want to be confirmed and take the Lord's Supper and to see that happen, this student says, I'll remember that. That's what's important to me. And he's right. I remember when I, too, just came out of seminary and only it was polio. Crippled this fellow up. He gives this testimony. He says, I was about to take my life. And then the pastor called on me. And this fellow's all crippled and it's difficult for him to speak. And he's trying to gesture. He says, he called on me. And he says, that was my salvation. What a beautiful salvation this was. And he was appreciating. He starts to cry. And he says, you know, that's what you ministers are doing. And he tries to gesture. You're always reaching down and lifting people up. What a beautiful hope comes into their lives. That's true. That we can do that, but it's the spirit of the beautiful, beautiful Savior that's doing it through us. He comes down into this ugly environment of death and evil. And through his birth and resurrection, shows us the power that can lift us up. And we see that in the seasons of potentiality, looking through the leaves and blossoms of the poinsettia and the Easter lily. How beautiful. Hooray. Amen.